Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the subject of justification in Roman Catholic theology. And in relationship to that topic, we're focusing on the place of works, grace, sacraments, and the role of the church in justification. In our program yesterday, we tried to set out what the Roman Catholic Church teaches on the subject of justification, and today I'd like to respond to that a little bit by looking at what the scriptures teach on this subject. And right at the beginning here, I'd like to clarify two things. Primarily, I'm going to be reading from Roman Catholic documents that are authoritative, as well as we do need to make a distinction between what an individual Catholic may believe and what the official doctrine of the church is. What I'm looking at is the official doctrine of the church from their own sources, from their own writers, from their own words. I can't respond to what every person in the church may or may not believe on these topics, but what we're looking at is what official Catholic Church doctrine is, focusing here on the subject of justification. Let me read once again from the documents which came out of the Council of Trent on the subject of justification. The portion reads as follows. If anyone shall say that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the righteousness of Christ or by the sole remission of sins, to the exclusion of the grace and charity that is poured forth in their hearts by the Holy Spirit and remains in them, or also that the grace by which we are justified is only the good will of God, let them be anathema. Also reading from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, quoting, justification in this life is never complete. Let's examine these two points, that justification in this life is never complete, or that justification is accomplished by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ by faith alone. Looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The term justification here, to be justified, was a term that was used in the court of law, which means to exonerate or to acquit. It's in the past tense, so it shows that it's a completed action. The term also means to declare righteous. So what the scriptures teach here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, is that it's a completed act, having been justified. God declares us to be righteous in his sight. And it's clearly pointed out in this verse that it's simply by faith apart from works, where it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. And it's important to see here that it is by faith so that it can be complete and we can have peace with God, or that we're in a state of being at peace with God because this barrier of sin has been removed. Now, it's important to understand that the word justified does not mean that God makes us righteous, that we're in a right standing with God because now we are righteous. That's what Roman Catholic theology teaches, that when God justifies, he actually makes you righteous, and that's what makes you acceptable in his sight. That's why in Roman Catholic theology that when sin comes in, a mortal sin, that person loses that justification because now they're no longer in a right state before God. It's important to understand what the Bible teaches, that God declares us righteous because he's given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not that I am righteous in myself or have earned any standing before God. And that's the second point that we need to look at from Romans chapter 4, because the quote that I read at the beginning said that man is not justified by the sole imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 4 clearly teaches something different than that, that man is in a right standing before God based on faith because the righteousness of Christ has been given to him. Romans 4, 3 through 6 reads this, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. It's interesting that this term accounted, or it's translated in some versions, imputed, is used 11 times in Romans chapter 4 alone. So there's definitely an emphasis that something being imputed or accounted to us by faith, which is the very righteousness of Christ. Now this term imputed or accounted or reckoned in some translation was actually a banking term, which means to deposit to someone's account. And so what Paul is saying here is that the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God was accounted to our spiritual bank account. We were at zero, but now it's been filled up because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is there. And that's what justification is. Not that my works maintain that or that my sin could take away from that, but it's been given to me freely by grace through faith. An important passage in light of this topic is 2 Corinthians 5:21, which reads, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so what happened at the cross is that my sin was laid upon Jesus, and the moment that I put my faith and trust in the Lord, his righteousness was accredited or imputed to me at the instant of faith. And that's why I'm right before God, because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to my life. I like the way one man put it. He said that Christ became what he was not, unrighteous, so that we could become what we are not, which is righteous. And that also God treated Christ on the cross as if he had lived my life so that he could now treat me as if I had lived Christ's life. That's a beautiful truth which brings a confidence, a position of no condemnation before God, as well as keeps me in a state of peace with God because I have the continual righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to my life. I love what Martin Luther said about the subject of this imputation of the righteousness of Christ. He said, the promises of God give what the commandments of God demands and fulfill what the law prescribes, so that all things may be God's alone, both the commandments and the fulfilling of the commandments. He alone commands and he alone fulfills. His point is, as Jesus lived a perfect life, he fulfilled the commands of God, and now his obedience, Christ's obedience, is now applied to my life at the instant of faith, which results in me being justified before God, acquitted, exonerated. John Calvin, in his Institutes of Christian Religion, wrote this, justification is nothing else than to acquit of guilt him who is accused, as if his innocence were confirmed. Since God justifies us by the intercession of Christ, he absolves us by the imputation of righteousness, so that we who are not righteous in ourselves may be reckoned as such in Christ. These are two men that the Roman Catholic Church were responding to at Trent of such statements that were imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ apart from our works. Another important passage on this subject is Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. And this passage is extremely important for you to understand the concepts that are here, which says, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. This term propitiation simply means to satisfy, to appease, or to atone for. And what you need to understand is that God was angry towards sin. He was wrathful towards sin, and that wrath had to be satisfied somehow. And now man has to make a choice. Is he going to try and satisfy God's wrath and anger towards sin by doing his own good works, even with God's help of grace? Or is he going to simply trust in Christ alone, where that wrath was poured out upon the cross completely, 100%? And God's plan for salvation is that man needs to be perfect. As Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect in heaven. That's God's standard for you being in a right relationship with him. And the bottom line is that nobody is able to live a perfect life other than Jesus Christ. So God's plan is that he would go to the cross, he would pour out his wrath upon someone that who committed no sin, and he would bear the punishment for all. But then also his perfect life of obedience could then be applied to a person that had faith in God's plan of salvation in Christ Jesus. And that would be able to keep God's righteousness, because he's not lowering the standard. We don't get into heaven because God lowered the standard, but because someone paid the price and lived that perfect standard in our place. And then now that righteous life is now imputed or credited to us as if we had lived that life. And so God remains just, righteous, or holy, as well as the justifier, the one that can justify us without lowering the standard. The same concept is found on Augustine's comments on Romans 3:21. He says, he does not speak of the righteousness of God by which God is righteous, but of that with which he clothes a person when he justifies the ungodly. Let me read two other good quotes about justification. This comes from the magazine Modern Reformation. The main interest of the cross is to propitiate, turn aside, satisfy God's wrath towards sinners by sacrificing a substitute in the sinner's place. Payment for each and every sin was secured, and the righteousness of Christ is therefore imputed to the sinner's account as though he had satisfied God's legal demands himself. Also from a theologian of the past, Louis Burkhoff writes, it is an act of free grace whereby he pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, but does not change us inwardly. Justification is a judicial act of God in which he declares, on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, that all the claims of the law are satisfied with respect to the sinner. Now, when you understand justification in that light, that all the demands of the law have been satisfied in Christ, all my sin has been paid for, and now I've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it sure makes the last part of Romans 5, verse 1 understandable when he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not talking about peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, but now I'm in a relationship of peace with God because his wrath has been completely satisfied. He no longer has any anger towards me because of my sin, because it's all been paid for at the cross. And that's Paul's point in quoting David from the Psalms in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, 8. Listen to these words that come from the lips of David. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The only way to have this blessedness, this great depth of joy and satisfaction and peace with God, is by understanding justification as it's revealed in the Bible. In Roman Catholic theology, it contradicts these clear teachings of Scripture that God's wrath, his justice, has not been satisfied. It's only been satisfied partially by Christ on the cross. And now the other way he's going to bring full satisfaction is through grace being imparted to your life, enabling you to do good works. So those good works will now satisfy the justice of God or the demands that he places upon our life. There is no peace in a theology like that. It only brings you to a state that I need to do more to earn God's favor. So it motivates you by guilt and condemnation rather than being able to respond to God because of his wonderful grace and love that's been demonstrated in Christ Jesus. I exhort you to learn what Roman Catholic theology is so you could understand it, so you can more effectively minister to those who are caught in this situation, so you can bring the truth to set them free. Because I believe there's many that are in the Roman Catholic Church that truly do desire a relationship with the Lord and are longing for that, but they're not getting the truth of the Word of God. So you equip yourself so you can be an ambassador to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to them. May the Lord bless you in those efforts.